You really run the risk of that property stagnating in the market and basically poisoning itself.
Just got to deal with that guy and whoever he is and whatever he wants, you know, he's got a lot of power.
Hello team, welcome back to the Two Fat Brokers podcast on this wonderful Sunday afternoon. I'm Barney from Dubai.
I'm Ben from Abu Dhabi.
I thought as a different change of pace, we would film this in Ben's living room. We're sunning ourselves by the fire and it's only 45 degrees outside. Today, we are going to talk about the importance of pricing your properties correctly. Now, obviously, this goes out to selling agents and to sellers alike. How important is it to assess the value of your home using your broker's advice and using the empirical data that you can find from the various platforms available in Dubai and the UAE to accurately measure your home value?
But I mean, here, particularly in the UAE, a lot of people will say, well, I want to go out with a higher price so there's room for negotiation.
Yeah, which I applaud. How do you feel about that? No, I think having sold houses here for a very, very long time, it's very rare to achieve asking price. The demographic of the part of the world that we live in, people love to negotiate. So I'm all for putting on a slightly higher price to allow room for that negotiation. The reason I chose this topic was we have specifically, or I specifically have had a client of mine who put his house on at 150 million dirhams. And then
it's a bit of a price, name drop version of a price drop.
Well, it's not a price drop. This guy then increased his price to 175 million dirhams after being on the market for about 6 months.
Because he had so many offers.
That was my question. How many asking price offers have you had? And the answer to that was none. How many offers have you had that you would even accept? The answer to that was none. And then after that, he increased it again to the princely sum of 225 million dirhams.
Wow. He's making a lot of money out of this sale.
Well, you then begin to question the motivation of sale, right? You know, this guy put it on it, and even at the time when he was on at 150, he was asking above what the market was prepared to pay, which is fine. It's your house. It's your option, your proclivity to ask whatever it is you want. You're right. But when the market then finally begins to catch up with the asking price that you had, to then increase it seems counterintuitive to any sale. But, you know, there are markers set by his neighbors, one of whom is asking 285 million dirhams. And that was a price given to him by a real estate agent with no real justifiable reasoning, other than I think they just wanted to get the listing and told the seller, this is what we can get you.
So what should a seller, so if you're trying to work out the value of your home, so assuming you're a motivated seller, and it sounds like maybe this guy is not motivated and that's the issue. But if you are a motivated seller and you definitely want to sell, how do you value your property? Obviously, trusting brokers can be risky if this broker of yours, you know, this broker friend of yours. I know you're very close. If he's given him the wrong price, so how can someone verify that? How can an individual find the price?
Yes, it's a very good question. In Emirates Hills, because everything has been custom built, 95% of the community is custom built, it's very difficult to simply choose a number unless you have the historical data that you would have from being in the market. For other things, you know, obviously Dubai and Abu Dhabi to an extent, it's a lot of, you know, the same floor plan replicated and occasionally flipped. But, you know, if you're in, let's say, the Meadows, you know this style of Meadows is going to be the same style throughout the whole community. The only thing that changes is your view, right? So you can easily go back through DXB Interact, for example, and there are other ways of doing this, but let's say, use DXB Interact for this point. You can go through and say, okay, my style of Meadows house sold the last sale was this much, the previous sale was this much. And, you know, you can build up a financial model. The only thing that's changed is, okay, I had a lake view or it was a back-to-back and therefore that price is going to change. It's very easy to then calculate what your house should be worth. Emirates Hills is slightly different. So we'll park that as an option.
So if you're a seller, you'd recommend that people, you know, if you're seriously thinking about selling and you want to know what price you should probably expect, the best thing is to do your own research.
Do both. Listen to your broker, because ostensibly they are the professional, mm-hmm. but also back up what they're saying. Ask them to back up what they're saying, and also do your own research. I mean, it's true to anything, right? You know, you should really be doing your own research, especially if you're going to put what in many people's cases is going to be the most high value asset you'll ever sell or own. You need to make sure you're pricing it right, because, you know, the worst thing a listing can do is stagnate on the market, right? If someone knows that this house has been on the market for a year, they're going to think, okay, well, there's probably something wrong with this. Now, it's either that the seller isn't motivated, there's a problem with the house, or, I mean, a myriad of other reasons, but this is why pricing is important. You need to set yourself a time limit when you're selling a property. I want to have this sold within the next 6 months or 3 months. And you need to work with your broker to make sure that happens. But if you overprice something, and then increase the price again, you really run the risk of that property stagnating in the market and basically poisoning itself by just being around too much.
Because you think, but how do people know that it's been in the market that long? Because on the property portals, you can just refresh the listing and it looks like you can even get a new listing tag if it's like, if you've refreshed it and it's like a less than a day old.
I mean, a buyer will know because it'll have been offered it. I mean, buyers don't buy within a month. You know, they look around, they assess the market, they try and get the best option, and they will be constantly being offered this property by various different agents, and they'll know this one has been around for a while. Yes, you can refresh, and, you know, this is a property portal conversation for another time. But people know, you know, real estate agents will know. They'll tell their buyers, yeah, this has been on the market for a long time. I reckon we can get it for a good price because the guy's not sold, right? So it's important to set yourself a goal. And to do that, you have to be on point with your pricing. How do you do it in Abu Dhabi? Do you have a DXB Interactive alternative?
We do. You got to pay for it. So only a few brokers have it. It's called Quanta. And it should.
Government run?
Yes. It basically uses the government data. So we can see what things have sold for. You can't see the unit number, so it's hard to work out, you know, the view, but you can pretty much see what things are selling for, which is very useful. And it's only been around for about a year and a half.
Do you use it?
All the time. Daily. Yeah, because in the end, also brokers, you know, might struggle to value something, because unless, you know, you're selling a lot of what, you know, of what you've got, you're not going to know exactly what the transactional price is. So it's important for brokers to be aware. And also, you know, a lot of brokers, like, they work in like vast areas. Realistically, a broker should be like, okay, I'm like an Arabian Ranches broker and I'm going to dominate that and, you know everything about it. But a lot of brokers, particularly if you work on referrals, you'll start working in different areas, and you need to familiarize yourself with the prices there. That's important.
Your brokers specify in specific areas, right?
We try to, but then also a good broker will get a lot of referrals. So they'll get someone say, "Oh, you sold a house to my friend. I want a house in this area," and maybe they're not, you know, that familiar with that area, but they're obviously gonna represent their client.
So, riddle me this: what happens if you have a seller? And the seller says, "I want X for my property," and you know that's 25% overvalued.
Yeah. So from our perspective, we'd give them a valuation sheet, which shows the data from Quanta, and we'll say, you know, you're over market price, and if they want to stick to their price, we'll say, okay, great, we can't list your property because, you know, it would waste, you know, we say, your time, but obviously we mean our time
and resources.
Yeah, and we'll give you a call in 6 months and see if the market has changed. And we use the word market, but actually we really mean your mind. Yeah, so we try and, you know, say it in the nicest way possible. But there are, you know, and actually this is something that we'll come on to later, because of the way that people find sellers in the UAE, often through cold calling, you get a lot of sellers who are not motivated. If this was the UK, if you wanted to sell your property, you'd wake up one morning and say, I want to sell my property. I'm going to go find myself a real estate agent to list it for me. And you're a motivated seller because you want to. Hmm. Here, people call you up and say, hey, do you want to sell your property? And some people go, well, not really, but if you can make me rich, I'll sell it.
I've done it.
So there's a lot of those sellers out there. And that's why there's so much junk on the property portals, to be honest, because a lot of, and particularly if someone's, you know, wants to sell their unit for 280 million, agent's going to list that. You know, he's not going to say, well, it's a bit overpriced, because there's, you know, an outside chance that he could make him rich. So there's a lot of unmotivated sellers out there. And as brokers, we need to sort the wheat from the chaff, because if you're putting something overpriced on the property portals, you're not going to get calls from it anyway. So
going back to what you said about people just saying, well, if you're going to make me rich, I've done that with a property that I own. It's an investment. So they said, look, can we go around and take photos? And I stopped them and I was like, you know, I'm asking about 30% above market value. And they were like, yeah, but we just want to go around and take photos so we can market it on the portal. In my head, I was like, you're just burning the money of your company. I mean, you don't care. It's not costing you anything. But actually, you know, with our brokers, any listing that they want to then go and take photos of, we're like, right, show us the market comparables. And if you've listed something that's way overpriced, we're not letting you take photos. I mean, a photo shoot's not going to change the world in terms of our bank balance. But it's really a question about allocating resources. And also, do we as a real estate company want to be associated with wildly overpriced property?
That said,
I put my hand up and go, I have one of those on the market.
Well, I mean, we started off the top here with your example, right? So he started at 150, which was overpriced. You listed it, you know, then he moved it up to whatever it was, 180. You listed it. Now he's
I haven't listed it.
Oh, okay.
No.
Now he's at 220.
No photos, marketing.
So this person is, I think, the classic not really a seller. The guy who, you know, the market's going up and he's just chasing it up. Oh, actually, when there was a downturn, we'd have people chasing it down as well, where they'd be reducing their price, but only after the market had fallen. So it's still completely unsaleable. But, I mean, I think, you know, your point was, and it's a very confusing market, and brokers are, you know, possibly if you get a bad broker, they can confuse you even more. So it is important for a seller, once you decide to sell, understand what, you know, realistically your unit is going to transact at. And then what you say is add a 5% on top there for negotiation. And then, then you should be good to go.
I think also it's worth saying, you know, and this goes specifically to potential sellers, you know, if you are truly a seller and you truly want to sell your house, make sure you get your price right. Make sure, and you don't have to tell your broker this, but make sure you know in your mind you have a stop date, right? By this date, I will have sold my property. And also in your own head, and again, you don't have to tell your broker. In fact, I probably advise you not to tell your broker on this. Have a bottom line number that if I get this number, I will sell if, you know, my 6 months is up. Because at that point, you know, you've realized that you've come to the end of your journey and your goal is to sell your house. And okay, you gave it a chance by putting it on 5%, 10% above market value. You haven't got it, but you've got your reserve number. Have those in place. And then by the end of that 6 months, you will have sold your property. The reason I tell you probably don't tell your broker what your bottom price is because brokers tend to have a proclivity to go, okay, that's his bottom line, that is my target. And obviously once they know that, there's no chance of you ever getting a higher number than that. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, I mean, conversely, and I know I've kind of, when I look at property, if I'm looking to buy property, I don't really look at the negotiability of a price. I look at the price, I look at the rent return, I work out the yield. Is that good? Is that bad? If it's good, you know, I'm interested. If it's bad, you know, I'm not going to you know, call up the owner or whatever it is and say, hey, you know, I know you've got it on it, you know, X amount. Would you take so and so amount? You know, but I get, but that's probably being British. And probably
no, it's
being
also
me.
you're talking about an investment, yeah. Right? And there's plenty of investment opportunities. So you know, why go through that extra rigmarole of trying to negotiate someone down if the immediate number doesn't work? I get it. You know, I get it. That's a
but
lot
you say
of calling.
Some people. It's important for some people to feel like they got a win.
I'd go so far as to say it's almost the thing. It's the driver. If you can get a transaction where the buyer thinks he's won, the seller thinks he's won, and the broker's also winning, you know, that's a really good transaction to be part of. But you will find it very difficult to close a sale where one party thinks they're being aggrieved. Because at the end of the day, a lot of this doesn't even come down to the number. It just comes down to what you feel about the deal that you're in.
Yeah, people buy with emotion. But so that there's a difference.
Not
so
you,
let's
though.
Say,
you're
not
like
me.
A robot.
Yeah, I am. where, let's say, you've got an absolutely fair-priced unit. You know, it's market, and the buyer comes along and is like, yeah, it's a fair price. And the seller's like, yeah, it's a fair price. And you do the deal, and that's great. But sometimes you get a buyer who comes along and is like, that's a fair price. I want a discount because I need to feel that I got a discount to emotionally be able to purchase this, even though it's a fair price, I need something.
Which goes back to the, you know, all of the years that we've been here selling property, very rarely do you get an asking price offer. Very rarely, unless that house is super undervalued.
Yeah, I mean it's not necessarily silly to make an offer for the asking price. If it's a popular unit, you know, you can waste your time, and we do have this. If there's a unit and there's a strong market for it, and someone goes like, well, can I have a discount? It can be gone to someone who's asking, you know, offer or even higher.
Mm.
So it would depend on the state of the market, really. You don't want to hang around too long if it's a popular property in a popular area. You're going to.
But then,
get
have they not underpriced it? If it's a popular unit in a popular area, and he's getting lots of asking price offers, have you just not underpriced it? Should you not be asking 10% more so that the interest is still there, but you don't have the bun fight?
I mean, that's an interesting point. So in some places, property goes to auction. You've got so many buyers.
Mm.
You go to closed bid auction or some other auction.
I think in Australia, that's how they do it. So the house sale date comes up and everybody goes to the house. They're allowed to look around a couple of days beforehand, but everybody goes to the front porch of the house and you start bidding. And then whoever wins it gets the house.
Yeah, I mean, nice problem to have for the most part here. And you know, we generally just have one buyer per unit, and often sellers. And I guess it's like, I don't know, not in the culture. You're not going to accumulate buyers. You're like, okay, you put in an offer. Okay, give me 2 weeks. Let me see if I've got any other offers. Normally, it's like, yeah, accept your offer. Let's go to MOU or whatever it might be.
Mm.
So, you know, I guess the culture and the way the real estate market works here is if you find someone and they're offering, you know, and your negotiation works out, you sign the deal, as opposed to, you know, what might happen elsewhere is, you know, you get five or six buyers for the same property and you try and play them off against each other. And that's actually one of the trainings that we've done from this American guy called Tom Ferry, who's a really good real estate trainer. He said it's better to price your unit below market, so you get more buyers in, so then you can bid them off against each other.
Mm.
And so that's because obviously if you're pitching it high and you got one buyer, I mean, just got to deal with that guy and whoever he is and whatever he wants. You know, he's got a lot of power. But if you've got four or five people and they're interested and they're like, yeah, I'm keen, you can, you know, maybe bid them up, pick the best one, pick the cash buyer if that's important to you, or, you know, whatever it might be, the guy can transact the fastest.
Yeah, so you watch these TV programs, Selling Sunset, Buying OC, Debating NYC, whatever you want to call them this week, they have quite a few offers on the table, right? You see these things and they, you know, they have their open houses and then they line up all of the offers in front of the seller and they go, look, Mr. Seller, you've got a higher price here, but contingencies, you've got a full cash offer here, but, and then a lower price, but no contingencies. So yeah, I mean, I see it's a good problem to have. But what we used to do in the UK is we would go to sealed bids. So if you had five or six, two or three, whatever, if you had multiple buyers for a unit, you would write to their solicitors or write to them individually and go, on this date, you must have submitted your full and final offer, and we will open the envelopes with the seller and they will pick one. There is no comeback after that. So this is your full and final highest bid. And then whoever got the highest bid or the best terms, the seller would pick.
So how would you get all these buyers? What, the first buyer comes in, he's offering, asking. You don't just go, done, we're out of here.
No, because you've got a week's worth of showings, of viewings.
Mm.
So you say, okay, Mr. Buyer, that's fine. But if you want to cancel all of these, you got to pay a bit more. Otherwise, we're just going to go ahead with our week's worth of viewings. And then at the end of that week, if there's no other offers, bang, you've got the sale. If there's other offers, then we'll go to negotiation. Or if the seller wants to go to sealed bids, you go to sealed bids.
Yeah, okay. Very interesting.
So I think we've covered this. I think in conclusion, how important is it to price your property correctly? I think there's a couple of schools of thought. I mean, I think if you do your own research, and yet you put it on slightly above what all of the other properties have sold, it gives you the opportunity to make a little bit more. But I think the main thing is do your own research as a seller. Listen to your broker, but don't take their word as gospel. Do your own research.
I quite like the idea of pricing it a little bit lower, scooping up all the buyers in the market, and then, you know, trying to get the best deal.
Good luck persuading one of your sellers to do that.
Yeah, and also when I think about it, if I was selling my own property, make you a bit nervous if you were deliberately doing that. But hey, maybe it's something we should experiment with.
I mean,
with
again,
other people's
anecdotally,
houses.
There was a chap who went to auction with his own house recently.
In the UAE?
In the UAE, yeah. Had a beautiful home, wasn't getting the price that he wanted, and he just said, okay, fine, I'm going to go to auction. Bids must be audio. I didn't really follow up with it much, but I mean, the house is still for sale, so obviously didn't reach his reserve. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he took his own house to auction.
Yeah, I mean, there are auctioners here, mostly for distressed stuff from the banks, but there is, at least in Abu Dhabi, there's a function where you can be registered as a real estate auctioneer.
Yeah, I mean, Emirates Auction.
Yeah.
That's where when banks are foreclosed on a property, they then by law have to auction it. But that's a podcast for another time.
Agreed.
I've been Barney from Dubai.
I've been Ben from Abu Dhabi.
We have been the Two Fat Brokers, and thank you very much for joining us.
See you next time.
Bye.